Welcome to the Desert Sanctuary with Carl and Laura Forehand.
Often when we have doubts about religion or simply want to ask questions, it can feel like we are wandering out into the desert.
We would like to invite you to join our sanctuary, the Desert Sanctuary.
We've tried to pick guests that would resonate with and challenge us and our fellow seekers here in the desert.
We believe that a key to the journey is to keep asking good questions, and we believe that all stories are sacred.
Our hope is that you will find life and healing for your body and mind, and that you will be able to be where you are and be who you are.
And now, here is our show.
Hi, welcome to the Desert Sanctuary podcast. I'm Laura Forehand. I'm here with Carl Forehand, and we are going to dive into chapter 3 of your latest book, Campfires in the Desert, a deconstruction travel guide. And so we've already gone through chapters 1 and 2. So if you haven't listened to those podcasts, we want to encourage you to do that and then jump on to chapter 3 with us. So We're a little bit groggy. We spent all day yesterday at a trauma-informed leadership conference, which was like just, I mean, it's people that we've seen and heard before, but I don't know. I just always come away with just this excitement, this there's work to be done kind of mentality. I kind of fluctuate between like I'm super excited to I'm a little bit discouraged because there's so much work that has to be done and so many changes that have to be made, but change happens slowly. So
yeah.
But
I slept on the couch night before last too.
So yeah. So
didn't get up bright and early this morning.
Yeah, but we do appreciate. I mean, when we sleep on the couch, you know, it's at our daughter's house, and so we definitely appreciate you know, her just letting us crash at her place, you know, so we're a little bit closer to the things we want to learn more about. So chapter 3 is called Get Some New Friends. And you have a quote here from the Dalai Lama. It says, "Old friends pass away, new friends appear. It is just like the days. An old day passes, a new day arrives. The important thing is to make it meaningful, a meaningful friend or a meaningful day." And so I'm just going to let you kind of kick us off and, you know, kind of tell us the nuts and bolts of this chapter.
Yeah, I think when I started to look back on my friends, I had a couple of friends in second grade. I talk about that in the book that I thought, this is my gang. You know, It was almost like the Little Rascals or whatever. You know, I had a black friend that would keep us from getting beaten up by the fourth graders. And I had a howdy doody like friend. That's the best way I can describe him. But we would assume that this is our group. This is forever friends. But a year later we moved and I got new friends. Right.
Right.
So third through the eighth grade, the only people I remember was Keith and Kurt. Keith was one of our, you know, ran around and got in trouble with. And Kurt also was one that taught that we smoked a cigarette or two and got out of that trouble. And so that was my only friend there. But, you know, you have friends in high school.
Right.
And our daughter Abby explained it to me once and said, well, maybe high school relationships weren't meant to last forever.
Yeah.
And that was certainly true.
Mm-hmm.
We went to college. Went off to different areas of the country. And right after high school, I probably never had contact with four or five of them, you know, for the rest of the time. And
it's interesting, though, because like when, like, I think of our granddaughter who's like going into second grade and, you know, you think those friends that you're in school with are like you can't. I don't know that you think about this when you're, you know, 7 or 8 years old, but you really can't imagine having any other friends, you know, They're your friends. So, yeah.
The bad news is sometimes we do terrible things, do things we wouldn't have normally done because we're loyal to that friendship.
Right. And you talk about that. You said to keep friendships or form new ones, I often acted in a way that felt inauthentic. Yeah, so can you like touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, I don't know if I have a lot of examples, but just, you do the things that your friends are doing, and
Yeah.
depending on who's kind of the lead dog in that pack, it's, basically whatever that person's suggesting, then we do that to preserve the friendship,
Right.
and
Right.
when we don't, it's questioned. Well, aren't you my friend? And I would suggest, though, that it's the same dance or in a different way inside of organizations like the church, that we are strongly encouraged to be united with our fellow church members and be loyal to them. And so we behave in a certain way. We don't go out with other churches. We don't, what I mean?
Yeah.
And so boyfriend girlfriend relationships are like that, but also just your basic friendships are like that. But then the church is also like that, in that especially in cults and higher control religions, it's terrible in there and terribly toxic. But in a normal church with a normal way of doing things, you're going to be encouraged to hang out with those people in the church.
Yeah.
This is your primary relationship, and
We're having a
some.
potluck. You need to come.
Yeah,
We're
it
doing
doesn't
this or
matter what
that,
you're
right?
doing with your mom,
Yeah.
or driving home to see, and so all through ministry, 20 years of ministry, we prioritized what we were doing in the church, in our church, over going home to see my mom and my siblings. Therefore, because we also lived in different parts of the country also, that those relationships suffered. And then I beat myself up. I could do more. I should have done more. I should have tried to make it work better, whatever. But it was primarily that pull of we're doing something for God.
Right.
And this relationship is God's relationship because He's on our side. We're doing God's work. We're doing holy work. We're doing kingdom work, is how they express it.
Right.
We're doing it for the kingdom. So this matters. And I suppose in sports teams and all kinds of organizations, you could have that. This matters more than anything. And we just watched the College World
The
Series
Women's
series.
College World
Yeah,
Series.
football. And they, often express that sentiment. This is such a deep relationship. The finals were interesting because there's a lot of ties between the teams. Because of Texas Tech's coach, there's a lot of links there and a lot of emotion there for people that have relationships until they switch teams, But we always put less of a priority on the other team, the other people, the people outside of our immediate friendships.
You said something interesting in chapter three, and this may kind of go back to what you were talking about, but you said much of my behavior stemmed from the desire to fit in. And I think that's an important point because a lot of times we don't look at, well, yeah, I just want to fit in, I want to, and we get that confused with belonging. So I'm wondering if you can explain kind of the difference between fitting in and belonging.
Yeah, I've always had an issue with fitting in. Wear glasses, I was skinny, little, poor, all the things that make you self-conscious about that. And I don't know if it wasn't that people didn't want to include me in things, or I was too weird, or it was just my perception of that. That people may have loved me and wanted to include me, but didn't know how to talk to someone that was like me, or whatever. But it just left me. I mean, that's why we were good church planters, because I wanted to fit in. And that's your primary job as a church planter, is to go to a place and fit in, same
So
with a missionary.
yeah, so like fitting in, and I don't want to be insensitive here because I know a lot of people with black and brown skin talk about code switching. But sometimes I feel like fitting in is a little bit like code switching. So you adapt to the environment,
Yeah, absolutely.
and it makes you feel like you're belonging, but you don't really belong because you're not being your authentic self, right? So
It
again,
was interesting to me to kind of have that realization and deconstruction that when I preached, I thought, I'm telling them what's what. But that was always within certain boundaries because I had to, in some ways, tell them what they wanted to hear. Maybe in a challenging way, maybe I could guilt them by saying, "You're not doing it, but this is the way we should proceed, and this is what you should believe, and so on." So I was, but I could only do that to a, just a very little could I get outside the guardrails of what they had set for the group, or I would be looking for another place to preach,
And sometimes you
And
did.
sometimes I did because just because I couldn't take it anymore.
So how is that different than, I mean, how would you characterize true belonging? Like really belonging somewhere?
I think from what I understand, and I love Brené Brown also, but I think belonging is something you do within yourself. When you learn who you are, and when your authentic self has been overused, right? But when you become who you are and you live out of authenticity, I think, like she says, you belong anywhere. You belong everywhere and no place at all, So, and I think that's Maya
I
Angelou.
think you're right, yeah.
But y you, I belong, I belong in the universe. I occupy this space, and it's significant, even if I don't do things that I think are authentic or significant, but I'm significant. I belong. I might need you to adapt to that instead of me constantly adapting to you, right?
Yeah, or it just may be that, we, I don't know, in some way clash, and maybe we're not going to be, the extremely close friends that we once were because we're both finding who we authentically are, and maybe that clashes a little bit with one another. And that's okay because I think what you said is really important. First, you have to belong to yourself. You have to know who you are and you have to be comfortable with who you are. And, yes, there are some, if you're a very extroverted person, of course there are circumstances where you're going to rein some of that in, right? But full picture, you're not totally changing who you are just to get the acceptance of other people.
Yeah, because it's short-lived. Because if they happen to start growing or they happen to start experiencing something else, learning, growing, expanding, then they're going to move away from you and you're going to have a hard time with them, right? So a lot of us sacrificed everything. And the only way to keep those friends forever, the only way to be eternal friends is to, in some ways, not grow, not change, not explore, not go anywhere else. But stay right where you are. And I don't think if I was a pastor of a church for 50 years, I would brag about that because that tells me that you didn't expand, you didn't risk much, you just stayed in the same place and did the same things. And maybe you grew a little, but then you kind of reined it back in so you keep your parishioners. And yeah, it's admirable to love people and care for people and things like that, but you haven't done what you could have done. Someone told us something like that, right? Early in our deconstruction, we said it's like we're losing all our friends at once, because we made a big step and took a step and moved away, and it seemed like, well, no one's calling us back now. We're not in the group. And the person said, well, you'll find some new friends. And it was true.
Yeah, I think too, we have to have that mind shift. Okay, so like if I'm using my granddaughter as an example, when you're in first grade, second grade, Basically, your whole class is, your friends, right?
Of best friends.
Everybody's your friend,
Best
or
friend, yeah.
you have a, yeah, you can have a best friend or several best friends, or, they have neighbors who are friends and things like that. And I think as you get older, you realize that it's just a few of those really authentic friendships that matter. I'm thinking back as we're talking, I have a friend that I'm Facebook friends with, and we've been like, we were really, really good friends in high school.
Yeah.
And we haven't, like, we've stayed in touch on a very surface level, right? Because we're Facebook friends and we like each other's things and we see what's going on in each other's lives, but we're not like in each other's lives. And I wonder, if we ever got together, what would that relationship look like, because we've had so many life altering things happen in both of our lives, right? And so we're not those same people that we were in high school, but there's still that relationship there, but it does change. It does change.
And in a few cases where I've reached out to some of the friends in the past, I would just say in some cases it's frightening, to how much people didn't ever change, didn't grow, didn't explore. They're exactly in the same place they were in high school, right? But even if they have explored, even if they've gone and done their own thing and reached out into the world, we still may be at different places and not have the same beliefs religiously, or not be doing the same thing, or living in the same part of the country, or whatever. So, but to, put some kind of spiritual or demand on maintaining those friendships, I think may be more damaging than good most of the time.
So, when we moved from church to church, there was a circumstance that caused us, probably like a little uncomfortableness or a little rift, for lack of a better word, that happened that caused us to leave, and a lot of people didn't, stay in communication with us. But like, then I think about my high school friends that I still am at least in communication with, right? It may not be on the same level, but I'm just curious, like, what is it about when you leave a church and all of a sudden it's like, I don't know who said this in the Bible, because I don't read the Bible and I never really was good at reading the Bible, but you know how like God will say, "I never knew you." And I feel like that's kind of how it is. Like
Yeah.
whenever we left a church, it's almost like these people are like, we never knew you, so like, we're just gonna like totally turn our back on you.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, like, why that is. Like, yes, my relationships changed with my high school friends. We've had lots of life experiences that are different from one another, but we can still have a love for each other and a respect for each other, even if we're in different places in our life,
Yeah.
right? But there's something about the dynamics of organized religion that it's like, and I don't know if this is, I don't know if people listening, if this has been your experience as you've deconstructed, but I just feel like, I mean, I can count literally on one hand, one finger, the people that have like stayed friends with us.
Yeah, so at the first church, when we were getting ready, we're about the time we were leaving, something happened with the school. The school was declining. It was a consolidated school. Just there weren't as many people around and so on. And they had a chance to merge with another school nearby and become a bigger consolidated school that would last maybe 10, 15 years longer. They couldn't do that because this community over here, wasn't great friends with this community over here, even though they live 6 or 8 miles away from each other and we're almost exactly the same. But something about our survival says, well, we got to survive. Maybe it was from being on the plains, and having all kinds of enemies and threats and so on. So we band together, right? And these are our primary relationships. And those guys over there are other, they're bad. And the church has done a really a good job, a really vibrant job of portraying everything outside of our church as other, right? So then if you leave, we don't know where you're going. We don't know what you're doing. We don't pay attention even when you leave where you're going, because you're just leaving us. And all I can see is how it affects me, right? And so there was a lot of that going on when we left that situation. But churches seem, since there's the illusion of a higher goal, a higher meaning, a higher purpose, we've convinced ourselves that even though we're a rural church and we're only 80 people, we're significant, we're doing kingdom work, and those guys over there are wrong. They're in fact, they're bad. And we don't want anything to affect what we have or our stability or anything, so we're not going to take risks. And so in many ways, the church is the worst at that, not letting people grow, not letting people experience things outside. And there's different levels of control that they use to maintain that.
It's interesting because, the church talks about unity and things like that, but I really do think that we have to unpack that message of unity. And I think unity means inside this building, we need to be united. Because if we look at our even small town here, there what are there, five churches? Like you would, I remember when you were a pastor, you would try to get community, like all churches together to do community type things. Right. And it never really came to fruition
So
because
afraid
I
you're gonna
think
take the
of,
wrong spot.
or just because of, maybe that mentality of we are united, but we're united inside this church where we're doing everything right. And we're not really sure, like you said, what songs are you guys gonna sing? What do you really believe? I mean, there's just this level of fear, in my opinion. Like you said, of the other.
Yeah, and I think the long-term friends that we actually have, the genuine ones, like mine with my son, is because we've both grown and changed and experienced other things. And in a way, now we're sharing those experiences with each other. And JD many times shares his experience from living life and doing something different and not living anywhere close to us. That now, because of technology, we can be pretty close. And, I'm not saying you can't have a long-term friend, but sometimes not pursuing what you really desire and what your heart and your soul is longing for because of this relationship. If that relationship, if the other side of the relationship doesn't want to grow or change or go with you, then sometimes you got to move on. And then sometimes it's really, really, really for the best. There were a few pastors in my journey that I really wanted to be on their staff. And now, years later, I'm so glad they didn't let me. And
But in the moment, it is painful.
yeah, I
I
wanted to
mean,
be
we
part of the
still,
group.
when we still have those moments, right, with certain people, certain influencers that are out there, and you think you're kind of on the same page, and then you realize that, they don't get back in touch with you, or they're too busy to whatever. And it's still painful, and you still have to kind of, experience those emotions that what you thought was this relationship, even out here in the desert, what you thought, was a relationship where you were on the same page, striving for the same thing to, to help hurting people, to help victims of spiritual abuse and whatnot, sometimes you still, run up against people that just don't have time for you,
And it's, kind of you're one of the reasons I don't fit in very well is because I'm constantly investigating something else. I've never been very content with just sitting still and accepting what is. And because then I say, well, what about Buddhism? What is it? Does it have anything to teach us? And so I move over and investigate that, and then people get upset with me because you're doing meditation and yoga and you're investigating this. Well, have you ever looked at it? No, I would never touch
Again,
that.
it's a fear thing,
And don't
yeah.
even know why, right? And
Yeah.
so, there's got to be a balance, I think, of settling in and making some roots and establishing a family, those kind of things. There's some times when we need to sit still and enjoy the relationships we have. But there's also time when we need to leave those relationships. And I'm thankful that you and I have stayed together.
Although we don't
Oh.
consider ourselves friends, I know a lot of married couples do,
Yeah,
and
it's
that's fine.
different. Marriage is different than a friendship.
We think it is.
But we also, I think we also want to stress, you can tell me if you agree, but I also want to stress that you don't need to stay in a very toxic relationship
No.
if, especially if there's abuse,
Yeah.
neglect, all those things. If those things are, if one person refuses to address those things and get better, then I don't think a marriage relationship has to last forever. Just
Yeah.
like a church relationship or a good friend,
Sometimes they don't.
there's times when they don't, and you might be much better off to begin rebuilding part of your life and move on. It's tough. It's really hard.
Yeah.
Experienced family members going through that.
Yeah.
It's really hard, but we don't condone suffering through your marriage until you die.
No.
I love long-term commitment, but then the couple's got to work hard to not to agree on everything, but to cooperate with each other
Yeah.
and understand each other and forgive each other, but not to the extent that you allow abuse to continue.
So you asked a couple of questions at the end, and I don't know, maybe this will just help give people something to think about as they're traveling through this deconstruction travel guide. But what are some reasons people can't travel with us? I mean, I do think fear is a big one, as especially inside of organized religion, right? Because if we have left the church, which we did several years ago, and we're starting to think about, other things other than, the Trinity as being the answer to all things, I can see that fear would be a huge reason why people can't travel with us. But what are some of the other
I think for me it's loyalty because I think I'm a six on the Enneagram. If I don't even understand the Enneagram, but that's what comes up the most is the one called loyalty. And you think, well, I above all I need to be loyal. I think that was beaten into my head at some point that you must be loyal. And so I've stayed at churches longer than I should have. Stayed in friendships longer than I should, or tried to convince someone that doesn't want to go with me on the journey to go with me, or to join my cause or whatever. So I don't know if I answered your question, but
Yeah,
that's
no,
what I would think.
I think there's lots of reasons, and I mean, I think that's a great question to have at the end of this chapter, because I think it gives you a chance to, sit back and examine, why haven't these relationships, especially after leaving organized religion, why haven't they endured? But then I like to think about, I mean, I think you have to process the loss of those relationships, but then and in the same moment, and I'm to this point now in my life where I can do this, like, yes, I acknowledge that that is painful when people I thought were my friends are no longer want to talk to me or whatever. But then I do think about the amazing, deep, really true relationships that we've established out here in the desert. And so many of those were actually when everything was online, right? And we were doing so many things online, and we've had the pleasure of since then, since meeting online, of actually meeting, like seeing these people face to face, I mean, and even some of those didn't last, right? Because again, we had this commonality, and even after we met, face to face, we still had that commonality. And then, things started, there became this fork in the road. And so there are some relationships that we established, back in 2020 and maybe even before that, that we no longer have with people, because again, to me, I think that fear plays such a big part. We decided to go in this direction, whether we think that's right, wrong, or whatever, and that maybe brought about some fear in some people that they weren't quite ready to leave all things Christianity.
I was thinking about some of the people in high school, and just really movies I've watched and things I've seen and things I've heard about, books I've read and so on, that sometimes, like in high school, you think about the people that want to be popular. They go to any lengths to, this is my friend, and this is my other friend, this is my other friend, and they all want to be my friend, and really hyper focused on that. When those people are, you notice by the end of high school, they end up with no friends, because they just have to be good friends with everybody, and everybody has to confirm and agree with them. And it's kind of a little micro, vision of the world where there's only so many close relationships we can maintain, and certainly not with the whole church. That's why it's guided by someone kind of controlling everything, usually, but
So, yeah, go ahead.
it's just okay. It's okay to move on from a friendship. I'm also not going to make sure I'm clear. I'm not condoning, kind of a lighthearted
Oh,
commitment
yeah.
to people, and or a lighthearted, that everybody that just disagrees with you is not your friend anymore. I don't want to promote that.
Yeah, I was going to say, kind of to wrap this up, honest talk here, how did it feel when people withdrew from us? It was very painful, especially in the beginning. And I'm not saying that some days still aren't painful. I mean, we kind of just went through something, maybe just a few days ago, and feeling like it, I'll speak for you, and you can clean this up, but just somebody you thought was a friend, it's just not getting back with you and things like that, and then started doing a little bit of gaslighting and stuff like that. And it's like those situations still, cause us to be hurt, and they're still painful. So we sure don't want to make it sound like, oh, we've got this all together, and people will come and go and whatever. It's not like that, because we as humans are hardwired for connection and relationships. And especially what we just went to yesterday with the trauma leadership conference that we went to. I mean, it was all about relationships, and absolutely, we are made to be in relationship with one another. And so when those relationships are fractured or no longer viable, of course it's painful. And I think you need to, sit with that and process that. I don't think you should just be like, oh, well, no big deal, because it is a big deal. It is a big deal. So.
I think the fact that we need connection doesn't necessarily mean that we have to have connection with you, right? I mean, there, because in a high control religion, it says it doesn't matter whether you like me or not, and it doesn't matter whether I hurt you or not. You got to forgive me. You got to have unconditional love for me, and you got to stay. And suffering, well, that's probably your fault anyhow. And you get into a lot of that kind of stuff. So Finding the right balance is tough, but it kind of starts with what that person told us. You'll find some new friends, and they may be better. And sometimes they're not. And sometimes you got to move on again. It's just that journey that we go through.
And just give yourself, grace on that journey. Allow yourself to process whatever you're feeling when, those relationships become fractured for whatever reason. So definitely a great chapter and a lot to think about. And like I like to think about the growth that I've made from 10 years ago to now. But like I said earlier, it doesn't mean that it still doesn't hurt when, there's a fracture in that relationship.
So I would just publicly apologize to Laura because I've dragged her through. I tend to move at a rapid pace, and when I learn something, I'm wanting to experience it and try it and see what it's like and so on. And she's a little more cautious than I am. And so we've been through a lot, but I think in the long run, it helped us grow and just, but like you said,
And I think
it,
in a relationship like what we have, you learn to, I can take a little bit of your adventurous spirit and not be so scared, but you can also take some of my caution,
plunge into everything, get excited
Right.
about
So, but
it.
that's what a relationship is. It's like we can borrow from each other when we need that particular quality.
It's you can't maintain 100 of those
That's
relationships.
true.
There's a limit, to how many things you can focus on and dedicate yourself to. And sometimes the church forces us into a corner that we don't necessarily need to be in.
So, we just want to encourage our listeners again to check out this book, Campfires in the Desert, A Deconstruction Travel Guide. You can get on Kindle. I believe it's still 99 cents. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, that and the trauma book is also 99 cents on Kindle.
What's the title of the trauma book?
Evolving from Religious Trauma.
And audiobook, this one
It's
is
$5.99.
$5.99. And I don't know what the other one
Worth
is,
it. It's
but
AI generated, but it's
it
good
is
AI.
good, you guys. Like that is how I'm kind of preparing myself
Me
for
too.
these podcasts, is I have the book in front of me and I'm letting the audio read it to me as I'm following along, and then I can pause it and I can jot my questions in the book.
You said
And
you got it for free.
I did get it for free because I have an Audible subscription. So something to think about, if you have an Audible subscription, you might want to look up Campfires in the Desert and see if like I literally was just gonna get it so that I could do this. And it was like, okay, it's in your library. I didn't have to pay a dime for it. So something to consider there. But we want to encourage you guys to get your hands on the book or listen to the audio book. Again, we like to always say this, and I'm speaking for both of us, so clean it up for me if you want. But if you struggle like to get these books in your hands, reach out to us. Like we are not opposed. I mean, we're not living on a mansion on a hill because Carl's a writer, just FYI. So, we don't have any problem like helping people out and getting a book in their hands if they truly can't find a way to do it
We want you
themselves.
to read it and experience it. You
Exactly.
don't have to agree, but it may challenge you a little bit, especially this one. It's going to challenge you to face the hard work of your trauma and your hurt and your harm that you've experienced in your life. So we want you to read it. We want you to experience it. And then if you disagree, come tell us and talk to us about it. It'd be great.
We're
But
open to conversation.
we are.
We're not open to bullying and things like that. So just know that we would love to have a conversation about this, whether you agree or not. But that's always our goal, is to have that open dialogue and not continue the hurt and the harm that maybe we experienced in church
In
or
some cases
in other areas. in other areas of your life, we want to start having those open and honest conversations that
Yeah,
promote healing.
absolutely. One encourages always to be where you are, be who you are, and be at peace. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for joining us today on the Desert Sanctuary Podcast.
Remember, all who wander in the desert are not lost.
We believe all of our stories are sacred.
We are always here if you need someone to hear your story.
Check out our blog on Papios and also our YouTube channel.
And stay tuned for our Leaning Forward Conference.
Remember, we love you.
And be at peace.